Hey, I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Steve.
Welcome to Design Therapy. Every month, we're going to be interviewing our friends in the design community, and they'll share a personal story with us and how it influenced their career in tech. Steve, another month and we're back recording Design Therapy. Are you ready?
I am, and you know what's been really surprising is that we're not sick of each other yet, Justin.
You're speaking for yourself. I don't know about that. But that's why we're bringing on new guests every month, right? So it keeps it fresh, you know?
That's right. Like anything, I feel like this is a relationship and we need to have fresh content to keep the spark going. But what do we got today? I'm excited to bring on our guest.
So today we have one of our co-workers, Monique, who works in the enterprise space. She's an experienced designer at Combank. Monique, welcome onto the podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys going?
Oh, living, breathing, you know how it is.
Monique, I know that you've come here to share your journey to design, and this probably leads to a lot of many more broader questions I have. So for instance, Justin, I know you were a graphic designer before stepping into digital. Did you do anything else before that? And did you know you always wanted to be a designer?
Oh, I've done a lot of things, Steve. I started working in a video store. I coached kids soccer. I taught English. I don't know if you know this, Steve, but I actually wanted to be a psychologist when I was young.
Get out.
So it's kind of, yes, it's a bit serendipitous that we created Design Therapy. I named it, so it's not so serendipitous. I did it.
I can't believe you never shared this with me.
No, I've been keeping it on the down low. Career paths are not always linear, Steve.
No, and it's very much the same as me. I dropped into IT randomly, started as a front-end developer when it was called Fusion. But up until then, I still didn't really have a purpose on why I was doing IT. And then kind of dropped into design because I just wanted to be more creative. But again, didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I think talking to a lot of designers, it seems like everyone has quite a unique, non-linear way to get to where they are today. And I think we're just going to see and get to hear about another unique perspective. So Monique, where would you like to get started?
I suppose I can start where I think a lot of students from high school get stuck, and that's getting your ATAR results. So initially I wanted to do engineering out of school. I had a good interest in tech and arts almost equally, but it was very hard to kind of find something at that age where you thought, okay, I can pursue something like this, like engineering at uni, and you know, I'll have a safe and secure future ahead of me. And of course we know it's not that simple. So after getting my ATAR, I realized I could only really do an arts degree. Nothing too bad with that. I was very excited to be starting uni, but I was also completely confused about what to pick, because arts degrees generally have a lot of different options for majors. Eventually, with encouragement from my dad, I picked philosophy, knowing very little about what it actually was. But, you know, I thought, I'll give it a go. It's at the university I want to be, so I'll start from there.
See, this is what's really crazy. How our society expect people coming straight out of a high school to have an idea of what they want to do in their career, but also put all these like constraints around eligibility depending on your marks. Now, you were almost like forced to make a decision, but I think philosophy is something that, well, I don't know, actually, I'm making assumptions here. It's not the most obvious choice when you think about careers. What made you, lean towards philosophy over other arts program?
I suppose what really attracted me, apart from the encouragement of some family who knew what it was, it would just really get me to explore the world around me. It was really appealing in that sense. I think the other majors that were listed were very specific, and so they wouldn't cover certain things. So it was almost like a really, really broad net that I'd throw out into this ocean of knowledge and just see what I get back. I think that was the starting point, considering, I suppose, I could have transfer to engineering afterwards if I still wanted to, but it was, I suppose, just a very broad starting point.
What I'm interested in is the family support, because when I think of philosophy, I don't think, you know, job security, these things you mentioned when you're finishing high school, what you look like in a career, philosophy is not up there for me. What made, I guess, your parents encourage you to pursue this? What was their reasoning?
I suppose it was mainly, I suppose, my dad, purely because he had an understanding of what would have been covered in it. That being said, from others, there was definitely concern around what are you going to do with it? You should be pursuing something like engineering instead, because that was seen as more tangible. So I suppose just the level of curiosity that I had for learning new things, that was always a driver for me in my education, just to continually learn. And so I decided I'll give that a go, knowing that I could change again if it didn't work out.
And did you have an end goal or career when you made that decision? Like, okay, I'll get this philosophy degree and when I graduate, I'll be a, you know, X, like I'll tutor. Did you have a trajectory in mind?
So I spent a total of 5 years at university. And from the beginning, my expectation of myself was I would start from this point, I'll see how I go. Would be great to transfer to engineering and then finish as an engineer. That was my trajectory in mind for a long time. But what I found was the more that I did philosophy, the more I started to love it. And so I chose to do a thesis prior to moving or attempting to move into engineering or other science-based programs.
Why engineering, by the way? I don't think we actually got that.
I was lucky enough in high school to be sponsored to go to the Engineers Summer School. And this was kind of like a program specifically for high school students to learn how industry applies engineering degrees. So we got to go around to different universities. We got to go see different workshops, some of which had robots. And that really, really attracted me. I thought they were really cool. And it was very futuristic and very innovative. And that was a space that really excited me. And so from there, I kind of thought, okay, great. I'll get an engineering degree. I'll go and work with robots because that's really cool. And it was always something that I thought, you know, would be very exciting to be in because it's a future, kind of like a future state role.
It's really interesting how I think originally you had something so concrete in your mind and ultimately ended up with something that to me felt like quite the opposite spectrum of interest.
I suppose you're right in a sense where tech is very much viewed as like this futuristic kind of job, and philosophy in a lot of ways is the oldest that we have, the oldest discipline. The great thing is that both of I suppose survived to this point. And now a lot of questions surrounding tech, around what we should be doing with technology, how it affects us day to day, is in essence a philosophical question. So I suppose while I was going through uni, obviously loving the tech side and the philosophy side, I found a way to marry the two, and that was to do an honors thesis on robot ethics. And I thought this would be a great way to kind of, I suppose, put my stamp on these kind of issues, which I had a strong interest in being involved in once I left uni.
My understanding of a thesis, and I've never had to write one, is that it's a pretty hefty undertaking. It's pretty much like a year of writing. And to investigate technology and ethics, that's a pretty meaty topic. So I'm wondering, I guess, how you approached that subject. What actually went behind writing the thesis, and what was the argument you were making?
You're right in saying that it's a very meaty subject. It was quite large in a sense of the literature I would have had to read to cover a lot of things. My focus was around how we could potentially consider artificial moral agents, aka robots, to be responsible for their actions. And these questions usually come up in the case of like self-driving cars, you know, if they hit someone, who's responsible. The argument that I made was around reactive attitudes. And essentially what this is, you have a certain set of people or citizens who are, for example, legally responsible for certain actions, but we make exceptions based on different factors for different types of people. A good example could be a child. From the age of 10, we can say they have different legal responsibilities compared to under 10 years old. And that's a good kind of approach to kind of apply to robots because they do have different capacities. And so my argument was essentially, if we are going to assign responsibility for any action onto a robot, it's because we have those systems surrounding them to say that, yes, this robot is responsible for X. It's essentially because we say so. And for me, what this kind of meant going forward is that we have a lot of power to determine what we want our tech to do and how we want them to integrate into society.
Okay. So, I mean, this is all like fascinating because I think often we don't consider stepping back on technology and say digital experiences and or even maybe like briefs that we often get and consider the wider, I think, you know, existential questions around certain projects. So I think that part to me makes philosophy really, really interesting. But then how did you then fall into design?
I suppose once my thesis was done, I had the goal of moving into computer science. I still felt by that point that I wanted to have more of a tangible and I suppose industry accredited way of moving into technology. While my thesis was definitely a proud moment for me, it wasn't going to get me into tech, or at least I didn't think it would. So I got into postgrad computer science, and then I realized this really wasn't how I wanted to engage with technology. It was a little too technical for me. I really wanted that art side to be there. I wanted that creative lens. I wanted that human lens in the work that I did. The only solution I really had at that time was to just stop uni and go out into the world and explore and talk to people, because that was really the only way I would understand what I could do with my skills. I spoke to other philosophers. They have all done something very, very different. And when I came across the term UX in certain meetups and got to understand exactly what it was that human side of technology that I wanted to be involved in a lot more.
You're talking about the human side of technology. I guess I'm curious to know how the frameworks or skills you learnt in your degree, in your philosophy degree, kind of translated into UX. How much has that influenced your approach?
There's a few aspects to both philosophy and design that have facilitated that move. As a discipline, both philosophy and design, I found, don't have this idea that it's done at any point. It's always iterative. And they also take in their stride the fact that sometimes there's no easy answer or no easy solution. And that really resonated with me from my studies. So going into design with the skill sets of critical thinking, problem solving, that just really felt like a natural move to me.
And beyond, I guess, skills, what you were exploring in your thesis, the relationship between, I guess, morality and tech, is that still a lens that you use to evaluate the work you're doing currently? How does, I guess, morality come into the work you're doing in tech?
I think the should we test that we have here at work is a great example of how that can integrate into day-to-day life. And there are often times when, as designers, we have to sit and think, okay, why are we kind of doing this project? What's the impact that we're wanting to create when we consider a problem space and the things around it? So that's really the day-to-day impact that it's had on my work and my understanding of design.
I guess the question I still have, though, is, like, do you miss robots?
Yes, I still miss robots. One day I hope that there will be room for designers to move into robotics design. We are constantly creating, you know, new and new robots that have some form of interface so that it does interact with a human. And to me, that means that, yes, absolutely, we're going to have a role in those projects. But I suppose since I've moved into design from my thesis stage, I realized that the projects that we're working on, even though they're not as, I suppose, exciting as robots, they're still just as important to consider as far as how far of an impact they have.
What other parts of philosophy do you think designers more broadly should draw on and consider? You've already mentioned things like the should we question, but are there other more specific ways that you would consider?
I think another part of philosophy that doesn't get talked about so much is, I suppose, the broad set of questions around aesthetics. It's actually quite related to ethics, but everyone tends to go for the big ethical questions. A lot of what we do in UI has roots, obviously, in graphic design, but it also has roots in more classical understandings of beauty. And we do use principles from there, like rule of three, the golden rule, all that sort of stuff actually comes from philosophy. So I don't know if they're necessarily tips, but there is that lineage from lots of different philosophers over time, just considering what we find beautiful and what is worthy of art and what is worthy of consideration as far as things go visually. And I think that has a lot to do with how we approach UI, at least for me.
It is fascinating though, because you think about like ancient Greek philosophy, right? Like where so much of our, I would say, it sounds like even science. So if you talk about golden ratio, maybe that started as a question of like, how is beauty defined in nature? But then it became almost scientific and mathematic.
So historically, our understanding is that philosophers weren't just that by trade. They would do a million other things as well. So mathematics was definitely another as well. And there's a lot of literature to suggest that mathematics is both the true sense of beauty and really the only sense of truth that we have in the world. That's very profound. But you can kind of see why, because it's the only real thing that you have in philosophy that could more or less be considered true or false. The philosopher's toolbox is logic, and logic is the basis of mathematics. So they kind of go hand in hand.
I just find it funny how you're talking about how philosophers were also mathematicians by trade. So even back then, philosophers still couldn't get a job. Like, that's what I'm hearing.
It's a bit of a hard sell these days, but also a bit of that romanticism has been lost over time, that we don't pay people who just think really broad around, you know, the meaning around life. We don't respect that, like much like we don't respect our teachers or pay them nearly enough what they deserve. So now where you've landed from, you know, starting as somebody who is really interested in robots, thinking that applied engineering was going to be, you know, your career, falling into philosophy, loving the human aspect of that, discovering design through UX, and then finding that that was kind of the common ground. I think the moral of that story is that you really don't know where, how you could end up in design. And for me, graduating high school, I had no idea I would also become a designer. And there's so much pressure I think society puts on our young kids coming out of school to get them to figure out what they want to do. How would you tell someone who's graduated high school, like what would you impart on them from your experience?
I would say have an idea of what you love more than what you think you would be good at later on. My learnings from studying philosophy is that I think any job that you go through and anything that you study, you're going to develop transferable skills anyway. So you might as well do something that makes you happy. And if you have absolutely no idea, the only way to figure that out is to go and explore things. And I feel like that's how a lot of us go through life. And it's just an amalgamation of all your experiences and what you prefer to do and where you feel you can add value.
Justin, I have a question for you. How do you value your work?
I think this goes back to when I transitioned from graphic design to UI design. I think I had a bit of a crisis of lack of value in my work. And I think that stemmed from I was just kind of trying to sell things to people because I worked in advertising. So I don't think if we're talking about the podcast topic, which is ethics, I don't think that aligned with my ethics. But when I moved to UI design, I think what I valued is that people actively use what you create. And especially working at a bank, you have the potential to impact people's lives quite significantly with some of the features you're producing. And I think as a legacy of work that I leave behind, I think that's a pretty strong thing to leave.
Yeah, for me, where UX really aligned with my, say, values or philosophy was how much there was a focus around, you know, problem space and pain points, which coming from a like a front-end developer, and also I did obviously UI and graphic design, it wasn't as big of a focus when you were looking at, say, how do I make something that would be delightful versus what are we actually trying to solve here? Like, what problem are we solving? And for me, that is like a really noble question. It's like, if we're going to do something, we might as well be like improving or bringing some kind of benefit to the world. And so I think that's why UX design and just design in basic, it feels like if you've been very honest around design, then you're hopefully solving some kind of problem in the world. And I know that might sound a bit righteous in terms of where we are in this stage with big tech and all of that around privacy, but I think the underlying principles around like being a designer still remains quite noble.
I'd have to say I feel the same. I think that's why that link between my studies just married up so perfectly. We have such an opportunity to determine how we use our technology, especially considering big tech, that we should use it to everyone's advantage and everyone's benefit.
I think also the underlying challenge is similar in that I think we can come from a very noble, well-intended place with design where we want to solve problems. Similarly, philosophers, we want to support to ask the big questions in life. But unfortunately, I think there's also the reality of when money comes into play, say you need a career to pay the bills. And likewise, you need to design products that drive business outcomes. Sometimes that does get in the way. But as designers, I think it's our challenge to try and find that middle ground.
As a community, I think design has the right intentions. And I think that's why when people come from various different backgrounds, we always tend to meet in that middle ground of wanting to solve the right problems the right way.
Okay, so Monique, I guess you've gone through a bit of a journey from falling into philosophy and then pursuing tech and then it seems like falling into UX design. Do you feel like you finally found something that aligns, I guess, with the passions that you mentioned earlier, or, you know, pursuing something you love as well as aligning with your ethics? Or is there another left turn coming up?
I do think design has a very similar ethos to philosophy. So I'm currently very, very much comfortable in design. I do feel that there's a lot that I can do in it. And so I don't think I'll be moving on very soon. But I think ultimately with design, I do want to make an impact. I would suppose my North Star would be something around obviously getting involved in technology wherever I can, but also helping younger people get better support when they are making decisions around study and career, because that has been a very tricky and confusing journey for me. So wherever I can give back, that's really where I want to take design.
All right, Monique, well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It's been great to learn a bit more about philosophy. Steve, did you learn anything?
Yeah, that it's It's for smarter people than I, that's for sure. So thanks again, Monique, for imparting your wisdom. We do appreciate it.
Thanks very much, guys. Really appreciate talking to you guys today.